will tonight, turn to Matthew.
Turn to Matthew, but we're a little further in the book. Matthew chapter 15. I touched on this message about a month and a half ago, dealing with this lady. And I don't know about you, but there are times, and even Pastor Turner mentioned it in his prayer, there are times we give up on God. If you'd be honest with yourself, there are times when maybe God doesn't move quite fast enough for you. And it's a shame, because to be real honest with you, if you would make a list of things that God owes you, there wouldn't be very much on it, would there? To be real honest with you, He didn't owe you salvation. Salvation was a lovely gift, and we're so excited of the fact that we even have the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask Jesus for anything. I got to sit with an 8-year-old boy named Hunter Storm. What a name. And he looked at me and he was ready. He's one of those kids that was just ready to get saved. And I asked him, I said, "Son, do you know what a sinner is?" He said, "Yes, I do. Somebody that doesn't do right according to what God wants them to do." That's deeper than you think. Because I've got to be honest with you folks. We sin a lot when we think we're doing right, because it's not what God wants us to do. And because we get into those times where we believe that we're doing right, we wonder why God doesn't bless. See, you got to understand something. Jesus is not required to bless you. He wants to bless you. He promises to bless you, but He's not required to bless you. We're going to talk a little bit about a lady tonight. I've touched on her before, like I said, in Sunday school, and I preached on this lady in jail in front of all these men. And one of the men, and I'll talk about it when we get to it, amazed me with his answer when I asked a very simple question. See, what you've got to understand, we've got to come to grips with, in this country today, Christians need to be louder than they've ever been before. We've been quiet far too long. There's nothing wrong with holiness. There's nothing wrong with doing that which is right. There's nothing wrong with talking about a kid like Billy Turner Jr. and telling the world he's a good boy. Yeah, amen. I'm a little tired of constantly talking about the people that have come back from the dregs of the barrel to lead good lives. I'm glad to have that, and I'm thankful for those kids. But what in the world do we do with the kids that we throw off to the side that do well their entire lives? We don't ever talk about them. I would to God we'd stay more on the kids that never touch alcohol. I would to God we'd stay more on the kids that never did drugs. I would to God we stayed more with the kids that never looked at pornography. I would to God that we'd stay with the kids that never did wrong. Yes, I know they're sinners. But when did we lose the fact that holiness isn't wrong? When did we lose the fact of who we are and who He is? The Lord has given you something wonderful. If you're saved in here today, we've got an eternity waiting for us that is unbelievable. But please understand, eternity is only at the end. We've got a wonderful life that awaits us right now. Don't look with your frown turned down. Don't look with your shoulders drooped. Don't look with tears in your eyes. I know this country is bad, but understand this. Jesus Christ is on the throne, and you are still in the greatest country in the world. It's amazing how little credit we give Jesus Christ. It's amazing how little we put into how great He is. I talked about the Lord taking control of my life this morning in Sunday school with my motorcycle attempting of purchase. where the Lord constantly told me no, 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 and I constantly tried to tell myself yes, 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 yes. I thank God that he turned me down. God is in control. We as people tend to pout, and as soon as we get the first answer of no or not yet, we run away. The prayer stops. God doesn't care. Woe is me. Can I help you tonight? God loves you. No, no, you need to hear this. You hear this every week here, but you need to know this. Your Savior loves you. There is no one, nothing that could love you more than he does. How dare we think that he doesn't love us? How dare that we think that he doesn't care? His thoughts unto us, Brother Mike, are more, not as many, are more than the sands on the seashore. More! And we think that he doesn't think on us, that he doesn't care about us. Let me talk to you about this lady. Let's stand as we read the Word of God tonight. Matthew chapter 15. Starting in verse 21, the Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And verse 28 says, Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray. Rob Shell, could you lead us in prayer, please? We went to a preacher's meeting in Stowe. Brother R.B. Ouellette was there preaching, and I'm going to tell you, it was fantastic. One of the greatest messages I've ever heard, and I got a lot of the thought of this message from that, but I approach it from a little bit of a different angle. To hear Brother Ouellette preach, he preaches with power. I'm glad for the old men that keep on preaching. I'm glad for the old men that stay in the gap and don't run away from the Bible and don't tuck tail and run every time somebody with a big cherry stage says something about their Bible. I'm glad for the men that stand in the gap and say that they're not going to turn, they're not going to wink their eye, they're not going to worry about what others think, they're just going to do right. I would to God that we had churches filled with preachers that preached in the pulpit and did not care what the people's faces said back to them. I'm thankful that we have a Lord that cares enough to continue to provide us with a great pastor. I'm thankful that Open Door Baptist Church has a pastor in their pulpit that would not tuck tail on anything, not that he believed in. I'm thankful that I've been raised under a man that won't tuck tail, and I've got to be honest with you, if I ever tuck tail, you fire me.
There'll be a deacon's meeting right after the services tonight.
The Lord had dealt with multitudes many times in the Scripture. He dealt with multitudes because multitudes found out that Jesus had something. Now, Jesus, I'm just of the persuasion that these multitudes didn't necessarily follow Christ because they wanted to be saved. A lot of times these multitudes followed Christ because he was doing miracles. And it was amazing for them to get a chance to watch Jesus do the things that he did. I mean, could you imagine have being there for the feeding of the 5,000 up to 20,000 people? Could you imagine being there when the baskets never ran out of food? Could you imagine that? That's a Baptist potluck you'd never forget. Can you imagine? It's that one dish at the potluck you wish would never go dry. You're like 7 or 8 back in line, and you see everybody keeps digging into that one thing, and you're like, that's the only thing that I want in this whole line, and these people keep going, and it's never the thin people that are ahead of you. It's always the people that take 6 or 8 spoonfuls. Glory to God. But not that day. That day, the General Tso's chicken never ran out. He finishes dealing with many folks, teaching many things. In verse 21, he leaves. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Let me explain something to you. The coast of Tyre and Sidon was in a land that was wrought with paganism, that was in a land where it was very difficult to even speak the name of Jesus without suffering persecution. It was a land where you would not expect Jesus to go. It was a place where you would not think that there'd be much fruit there. It was a place that you would not think that you would have the disciples to go. And I've got to believe that the disciples were probably nervous about going over there just because of what they had heard. What's amazing is we've got missionaries today that go in lands just like that, similar to Brother Bob Johnston, similar to Brother Mark Sigstad. They don't care what's waiting for them over there. They just go because that's where God wants them to be. Boys, if you ever have the Lord tell you to go to a mission field, don't you ever let anybody else tell you where you ought to go. Don't you ever let anybody tell you any different than what God told you to do. You're a little tired of people saying, well, yeah, I know you could go there, but you know what? There's only 2 or 3 people that ever come to your church. You'll be over there for 20 years and you have 10 people in church. If that's where God wanted you to be, my friend, glory to God, you go where you're going to have 10. That's where God wants you to be. Jesus leaves and goes over to this place. He gets there, and of course, the people press on. And it says in verse 22, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. You must understand, this woman knew who he was. I find that interesting. In a land where all these things are going wrong, there is that one lady that they mention here, and there could have been more, I understand that, but there's one lady that they talk about here, and in that one sentence, this lady says, O Lord! I would to God we'd say, oh Lord, when we talk to Christ. I would to God we'd realize who he is and who we are. I would to God that even in the midst of a pagan land that's many bad things are going on, that we'd just say, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Oh Lord, please take care of me. And this lady does. What's amazing about the Christian faith is we seem to lack it. What's amazing about the Christian faith, if we don't get our answer right away, well, we're done asking. God should love me enough to give it to me on the first try. I have people that come to me and say, well, you must not be in God's will. You don't have your building yet. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If it was up to me, I'd have it already. If it was up to me, the thing would be built. We'd be having church there, not here. But it's not up to me. It's up to God. Why is it that because things don't happen in your time, you decide that it's not God's will? It's amazing how out of whack we get as Christians because we believe we know better than God does. If I could suggest something to you, just say, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let him do the rest. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Are you still praying for the building or have you stopped? Oh man, it's quiet, brother. Are you still praying, or are you second-guessing the leadership of this church? I've been told by every pastor that I've ever talked to, building programs show you who's with you. Because building programs will separate who really, really wants to serve God from who really, really wants to serve man. It's amazing to me to watch the people squirm when we talk about money. It's amazing to me how we think in our heads that we've got the right idea. It's amazing how good people would be at running this church. I'm thankful to be the associate pastor. I blame everything on him. Glory to God. If this message doesn't work out, it's on him. He picked me. But the answer that Jesus gave to her when she said, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me," the Lord turns right around and says, "Oh my goodness, a Christian in the midst of all this. Oh my goodness, young lady, let me come and help you. Oh my goodness, I'm here to serve you." It's like rubbing a genie in a lamp. He said, "Oh Jesus, come help me. What would I do for you? What could I do for you?" No, Jesus turns around and says, "Nothing." Woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She really had a problem. She really had an issue she was seeking God. She was seeking God, Grandma Lemley. She knew where she had to go. She knew the problem was beyond her. It was beyond the doctors. The problem was very real, and she knew she had to get to Christ. Glory to God, Christ showed up. She got to him. She's standing there, and she says, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me." She had a real problem. She wasn't asking him for anything crazy. She was asking him for a healing of someone else. She even had others on her mind. And the Lord answers her, not a word. Put yourself in those shoes. How long would it be before you'd leave? Be honest with yourself now. How long would it be that you'd stop praying because your answer would not come? How long would it be before you would say, "Obviously, my Lord does not care for me, because he's not answering me"? How long would it be before you'd turn your back on him? I've been in that position. I've been in the position where I believed that what I was praying for is something that Jesus should answer. I believe that what I was praying for was not to consume on my own lust. I believe that I was not asking amiss. I believe that I had read Scripture and was scripturally correct in my prayer. I believe that when I uttered that prayer, I was not stopping at the ceiling. I was progressing to heaven. I believed I was coming boldly to the throne of grace. I believed I was doing everything right. And in the midst of doing everything right, the Lord answered, not a word. I'd ask you to raise your hands, but I've got to believe that many of you have had this same occurrence in your life. I want you to notice what the next thing that this lady does. He answered her not a word. Now I'm going to read a little into this verse. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." This lady, after not being answered, being ignored by the Savior in person, she could see him, and the Lord decided, "I'm not going to answer her." And by the way, let me help you a little bit, Christian. Don't you look down on Jesus Christ here. He's God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Don't try to figure him out. Just say, "Praise God, that was right." Do you think that she said, "Well, glory to God. If he's not going to answer me, well, I'm not going to answer him"? Did she walk away? Did she leave off of asking the Savior for her answer? No. She cried after them and would not stop. "Oh God, no, you don't understand. Oh God, I know you hear me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, I need a healing for my daughter. Oh God," and after a while the disciples said, "Good Lord, have mercy, get her out of here." I know church people that have done that. How sad is that? I know church folk that have had somebody come to our service and say, you know what, you just don't quite fit in here.
You know, I really think you should have asked those people to leave because they just don't really fit in.
Let me explain something to you. I don't fit in either. I'm a sinner. I am a sinner saved by grace. And if you'd be honest with yourself and look in the mirror, you don't deserve to be here either. And this woman would not stop. The Bible calls it importunity. A ceaseless begging. I love this illustration. I use it all the time because I think it's absolutely hilarious. I have three children. Should have two. But I've got three. Ha, you pick which one I shouldn't have. No, I'm just kidding. You take them through the cash register at Walmart. Now, you know what I'm going to say. It is a importune moment. If there's whatever candy bar they have a hankering for that day within 6 or 8 feet at the most, they will dial into that and focus on that object and will not stop until it becomes their own. They will cry after it and not stop to the point where you're looking for cameras to be zooming in on your family. Daddy, I want the candy bar. No, you can't have the candy bar. Daddy, I want... See, I've never bought you one. Daddy, I want the candy bar. No, you can't have it. Daddy, I want the candy bar. No, you can't have it. Daddy, I want the... You can't have it. Daddy, no, you cannot have it. That's final. That's parents, if you said that, that's final, but it never is final, is it? Yes, final. You're not going to get any more. No more for you. No more. It's done. No more. That's the end of it. I want the candy bar, Daddy. You don't understand. I got to have the candy bar. You don't know if I don't get it. You don't ever give me anything. Oh, my goodness. You never give me anything, Daddy. Don't you understand? These people, I'm starving. You never give me nothing to eat. And these people are all going, oh, my goodness. They're looking. Send him away. Send him away. And finally, you're standing in a candy line. You're saying, all right, just be quiet. Here's the candy. Tears were streaming 10 seconds ago. The tears are dried and a frown is gone. Replaced with a smile saying, I did get you, didn't I, Dad? It makes you want to take the candy bar and throw it across Walmart. This lady would not stop. Let me challenge you something. In the school this last year, I gave the kids prayer journals. I've talked to some of you about this, and I've even mentioned it sometimes in church. I started the kids on prayer journals because I got to the point in my prayer time, I was forgetting things. I don't know, I'm 40 now, and I have trouble with that. No gray hair yet, but I know it's coming, amen? And I was forgetting things, and it was getting to the point where people would have surgery, and man, I'd forget about it, and it really started driving me crazy. And I started saying to myself, if only I would write this down. And there's a little system that a lot of preachers use. They put a little note card in their pocket and start writing things down. So I tried to get in the habit of putting a note card in my pocket, and I'd be able to write prayer requests down at the end of the day. I would take them into my prayer journal, put them in there, and I'd be able to remember them to pray over them every single day. At first, when we started praying, and we tried to make a daily prayer of it, we would try to pray and try to last for 5 minutes. And I know most of you Pharisaical prayer warriors, you pray for 75 hours a day, and you don't ever have any of these problems. But we started out praying, and some of the kids were saying, well, I just can't pray for more than 5 minutes. I just don't have that much to pray about. At the end of the year, I had kids coming to me saying they had to get up by 5 o'clock in the morning just to pray through their prayer journals before they would have to come to school. Glory to God. What's really awesome, I had two or three of the kids that would take highlighters. I would to God we care about our prayer life like this. They would take highlighters and highlight the prayers that were answered in one color, highlight what the prayer was answered in another color, and then at the end they did a percentage on how many prayers the Lord answered affirmatively. I would to God you'd care like that. So at the end of the year, I had one girl come and say, Mr. Ballard, I just want to tell you, the Lord answered yes 72% of the time. How do you know that? She said, because the things I asked for, I made sure I wrote down when he answered. You know, we get discouraged sometimes because we forget when he answered. We get discouraged sometimes because we forget the victories God has wrought. We forget sometimes because unlike King David, who took Goliath's armor in its own tent, and every time he would feel discouraged, every time he would think the Lord wouldn't answer, he'd walk in that tent and see that armor sitting there and say, glory to God, he does conquer. Glory to God, he does care. Glory to God, I do win through Christ. You can all point yourself back to a time when Jesus answered a prayer for you, but it's amazing how we forget when things go just a little bit bad. Jesus answered 7 minutes ago, but he no longer cares for my soul. This woman would not be stopped. I would to God in your prayer life, each and every one of you, I would to God that you would not be stopped. When you approach prayer, don't approach prayer with, I want my will. Approach prayer, I want thy will. And don't be stopped. Don't stop for 10 minutes. Don't accept. Go ahead and keep talking to God. This woman cried after him. The disciples said, Lord, please send her away. We're sick and tired of hearing from her. I would to God we'd have a whole church filled with members right now that Jesus would say, all right, I'll give you the building. All right. Because we were so, so pressured in the prayer. Seeking God. Do you know God is real? No. You ask yourself this. Do you know that your Savior is real tonight? This is not a joke. Prayer is not something that we should just play with. Prayer is real. And I'm going to tell you, this woman would not be stopped. Let's look at what happens next. Send her away before she cried. But he answered and said to this woman, oh, keep her around. It'll be all right. The loving Christ. The loving Christ said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now he racially profiles her. Now wait a minute. He wouldn't answer her. Now he says, I'm only sent to the Jews. I'm not going to do anything from you. I'm only sent to the Jews. I'm not going to do anything for you. How many would stay around then? How many would stay around when the Savior said, I'm not sent to Gentiles. I'm just sent to the Jews. How many would stay around when Jesus didn't answer? And then how many would stay around when things maybe didn't go your way and now you're offended? Let me ask you a question. This is good stuff. I'm glad you're quiet. I'm going to encourage you at the end, but until then, I'm going to drive nails for a while. How many, when you get offended, you're tired of church? You come in here and preacher preaches his eyes out. Great service this morning. But I bet you somebody was offended somewhere in the message. Unbeknownst to the preacher, bitterness gets harbored. Unbeknownst to the staff, gossip begins. And one offended brother breaks down the countenance of many because we were offended. This lady showed me that she refused to be offended. This lady showed me, and listen to me, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. I'm not sent but to the house of Israel, lady. I'm not going to turn around and help you because I'm only sent to the Jews, and you're obviously not Jewish. How in the world can I help you? Let's look and see what she says. Now listen, she's been racially profiled. She's been ignored. She's been cried for. The disciples have asked to send her away. Let's look and see what she says. Then came she, and she worshiped him. She worshiped him. That leads me to think that maybe when you're offended, you should ask yourself why. There's times in my life that preacher will correct me, like a lot of them. I'm good at making mistakes. He's good at correcting. I can do two things. I can run off and pout, which has happened. I'm not going to lie to you. It's happened. If you say you don't run off and pout, God bless you, you Pharisee. Or I can take to heart what has been said to me and worship God, saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for helping me. I probably don't have to tell the vast majority of you, but the vast majority of you have to realize that we have not arrived. There's never going to be a time in your life that you've arrived until you get to heaven. Until then, we are but clay. We need Christ. He is our only answer. And we should stop being offended. I mean, we should stop being offended. We should stop being offended that leads to bitterness, that leads to cancer. I'm not talking about the cancer that is the real cancer, the most terrifying and horrible disease ever. I'm talking about the cancer that eats at your heart, the cancer that eats at your spirit. That lady, listen to me now, that lady could have walked away here offended, but what would that have done for her daughter? That lady could have walked away offended, but what would it have done for her spirit? That lady could have, and understand this, please, you've got to understand, Jesus has a wonderful thing that we don't have. He has wonderful foreknowledge. He knew what was going to happen here. He knew who this lady was. Don't go out and start talking to people and try to win them to Christ by saying that they're maggots. That's probably not going to work. Jesus knows the beginning and the end here, so you must understand that. But I'm trying to talk to you today about you. Are you offended easily? One thing I love about Bethel, we truly do love each other. Rain or shine, thick or thin, we love each other. Families have disputes. I've had my own family stop talking to each other for 10 years over a plate. Families do dumb things, but the love is still there. And you've got to understand something. We are all from different backgrounds. We're all from different places. And I've got to be honest with you. I thank God that the people that get offended have never had a bad day in their life. Because when you have a bad day, you're liable to say things and do things that you really don't mean. And I would to God that we as Christians would give each other the benefits of a couple hundred thousand doubts, because we are not perfect. Far too much time, far too much love, far too much hate is happening because of offense. This lady tries to teach us here. It is not. She worshiped him saying, Lord, help me. But then he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I don't know a lot about girls. No man does. That's the best amen I've gotten all night. But I do know this. Anything canine related probably ought not go their direction. This is your Savior speaking. It's not meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I'm sorry, ladies, that would be about the last straw, amen? Oh yeah, you won't say amen now, but you know it. He ignored her. He racially profiled her, then he called her a dog. In our lives, we would have been done after the first one. Being ignored is enough. If we made it through there, we certainly would have stopped at the racial profiling. We never would have made it to the dog. I had an interesting fella in the jail the night that I was there. And I was preaching on this, and I told him, Can you imagine being called a dog? Could you imagine having Jesus Christ turn around and call you a dog? Could you imagine? What would you do? He raised his hand. He didn't have a Bible in front of him. I loved this. This gave me chills. He didn't have a Bible in front of him. He raised his hand. He said, preacher, he was telling you the truth. He said, I'm a dog. And you're telling me that that Jesus loves me? I don't know how in the world you keep composed after you see a man come to the realization of that truth. He told me I'm a dog. If Jesus calls me a dog, he oughta, because that's what I am. he calls this lady a dog. And it's amazing to me that she has stayed around this long, but she even goes beyond what you would think. In the next part, she says, "Truth, Lord! Truth, Lord! Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She says, "I don't need the full entree, Lord. I just need the crumbs. Oh, Lord, I'm not expecting everything you've got. I'm expecting anything you've got. Oh, God, I need you. There's nothing that I deserve. There's nothing that I merit. But, oh, God, please just give me the crumbs that fall from your table." How many times as Christians, especially American Christians, we're pathetic. How many times have you been satisfied with the crumbs that come from your master's table? How many times have Jesus offered you something that's not good enough? Oh, think about that, my friend. "Well, I prayed for 1,000 and he only gave me 200. He gave a breath to me just now. He gave me another breath just now. I've got eyesight. I can touch and feel. I can see. I can hear. I can smell. And sometimes that's a blessing. Unless you're with the teenagers on a trip down to Texas." This lady says, "Truth, Lord. I am a dog, but I need your help." Jesus says something that I would to God that I could hear, but I'm not sure that I've ever gotten this far. I would to God that I could hear the statement that he makes. He said, "Oh, woman," not "woman." I don't want to hear that. "Oh, man" would be nice for me. "Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want you to see this next verse. And I'm going to try to help you tonight. Jesus departed from thence. I want you to look at verse 21 again. Jesus went thence. Look back at 29. Jesus departed from thence. He went and he left. Did you read anything about anybody else in those verses? Now wait a minute. That gives me great hope. That gives me wonderful, wonderful hope. You may be in a spot where you think that Jesus does not know where you are. You may think you're in a spot where Jesus is never going to come. You may think you're in a spot where it's beyond what Jesus can do. You may think you're in a spot that Jesus cannot or will not supply your needs. But let me explain something to you. Jesus made an appointment. He made an appointment, said, "I know where I'm going to be, and that's with my precious child on these coasts of Tyre and Sidon. I'm going to go to this place because I've got to meet with her. I've got somebody that has great faith. I've got somebody that cares. I've got somebody that worships me. I've got somebody that loves me. And I'm not going to miss this appointment." He departed and went to those coasts. And anyone's done with dealing with her, he left again. He went there for her. If you'd be honest with yourself, there's been appointments that you've had with Christ. Jesus has stopped by to say hello to you before. He stopped by and answered prayer for you. He stopped by and had communion with you. He stopped by and said he loves you. I thank God. Listen to me now. I thank God through all of the things that I have done to him. All of the times that I have failed him. All of the times I've turned my back on him. All of the times that I've let him down. It dawns on me that how can I ask for anything at all? How could I come to my Savior with any request after all the times that I fail one simple request? How could I come to him? And Jesus still says, ringing out through the pages of our 1611, come. Come. I know you failed, but I love you. I know that you messed up. I love you. He knows my frame. Glory to God. If my heart condemns me, he's greater than my heart. Glory to God. No matter what has happened in your life, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're going to do, your Savior loves you, and he desires you to come to him. He desires you to seek after him. He desires you to pray to him. He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. I love this old refrain. Dr. Hiles used to repeat it all the time. I love to hear it. Could we think the ocean fill? Or were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong! I love this last part. It will forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. We have a Savior. Even through our failures, you keep asking. Even through the waiting, you keep asking. Even through the times when you don't think that you got your just rewards, you keep asking. Even when you think you should have gotten better than what you did, you keep asking. Don't keep your eyes focused on the world around you and what you think is being done. You keep your eyes focused on the Savior because that's where things are being done. There's going to be a day, preacher, and I'm all done. There's going to be a day, preacher, when we sink the silver shovels in the ground. There's going to be a day when Record Courier's not taking pictures of change anymore. They're taking pictures of men that have been on their knees praying for that day. You're sinners. And he's your Savior. He loves you tonight. Remember that your Savior, he loves you tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, the amount of your mercy and the amount of your grace cannot be measured. Mistake after mistake, failure after failure, even sometimes ignoring your call, you still love us. You still care about us. Lord, I would to God that we would have a steelier spine on seeking you, more of a motivation to come and touch the hem of your garment. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to seek you better. Lord, help me to never stop like the children in the candy aisle. Help me to never stop asking. Please, Lord, help us tonight. Help us to realize how wonderful you are. Help us to realize that in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all this pressure, in the midst of all this stress, that you've made an appointment to meet with us. Lord God, don't let us miss that appointment. And when we come to that appointment, let us come worshiping. Let us come worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, that loves us so much that he was willing to go to the cross and die for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being so merciful. Please be with us tonight. Be with this invitation. Lord God, guide and direct everything that's said and done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, please come.
Play softly. Maybe you're here tonight and you just like to come to the altar and pray. Ask God some things. Like that lady, dear God, please give me this. Lord, I need this. What's so special is that he came just for her. The reason he was there was for her. He's there for you too, if you'll just recognize it. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart, if there's folks here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that they'll come and be saved. I pray, dear God, also, if there's folks here that are going through hardships, that they come and ask you to help lift that burden. People who need to be baptized, help them to come. Whatever's in their heart, Father. And Lord, I pray that you'll just have your perfect will in our lives. And we'll pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.